without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Good heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Wow. I'm not even sure where to start today. We've got, we're remote, by the way. That's why we're showing the picture of Lewis laying on the bed. He's taking a nap. He's still lagging in the sickness. We still have coughs, but we're going to be okay, I think. You are listening to Stronghold Radio Live right now. It is March 14th, 3.14, as Olima pointed out. It's Pi, 2011, and it's approximately 5:01 p.m., and we missed you on Friday because we had a training to get going, and I was just going to talk about training on the Monday show here, but there's just so much going on right now, isn't there? It's like the whole world exploded overnight, and it's just amazing. So, but we're going to have the phone open. I do have it hooked up here. Let me make sure that, let's see, yeah, everything's working. We've got the phone hooked up. The phone number to call in is 559-346-8362. I'm not going to belabor you with, you know, explaining everything that happened. If you don't know what happened, you're probably living on a yacht somewhere off in the mountains in a deep glacial lake. Because we don't even have television where we were, and we knew what happened immediately when it happened. I was actually up all night when I saw it first occur. But this devastating earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and now the secondary, the on-again, off-again nuclear threat. I find it amazing. They keep going back and forth. Just moments ago on Fox News, they were saying that there was yet another reactor number two that blew, and that some of the rods are exposed and there may be radiation leaked. All that stuff is incidental. There's nothing you and I can do to protect that from that if it does get over here. I do know. I was checking out the different nuclear sites that deal with these things, anti and pro-nuclear. It'll take approximately 11 days for the wind to blow that up around and get across the ocean to the coast here on the west coast. And by then it'll dissipate. But I do know a few things that have happened already. There was the USS Ronald Reagan sailed through a cloud of radioactive dust, they're saying, and gave them basically the same amount of rads that in one or two hours that they normally get in 30 days of working around their reactor. And they're also ordering our ships a little farther away from that potential disaster, secondary disaster, the nuke site there in Fukushima or whatever. Just to encapsulate, because we didn't have TV, I was listening to the radio and catching still images. This type of thing, just the fact that it happened to Japan, it's not. People are saying it's a 1-in-1,000-year event. It may be because of the amount of people and all that and the damage that it did, but these kind of things can happen just about anywhere there's a plate, anywhere there's a fault. The New Madrid, you folks in the middle of the United States, I hope you're watching this. New Orleans, Louisiana, all along the Gulf Coast. I don't care where you live, if there are mountains, if there are faults, this could happen. Pretty much the safest place that I found in all my reading over the last 3 days has been like the salt flats out in the middle of Utah or Nevada, because you got nothing to fall on you. You got no active volcanoes, anything like that. But you can't sustain life there. So it's a catch-22. Unfortunately, we as human beings, we love to live in these dangerous places. But this better kick you in the butt. This better kick you in the butt for natural disasters. Now, whether it was started by HAARP, people are sending me YouTube videos where it's showing 2 hours before the earthquake there were UFOs sighted over the nuke plant. Okay, fine, whatever. That's not this kind of show. Listen to Coast, which I do, if you want to discuss that kind of stuff. I'm not going to get into that. But they're going to exploit this horrible, terrible catastrophe, whether it's natural or man-made. Now, what you've got to realize, the Japanese, from here on out, for the next several years, are going to be rebuilding the infrastructure of these damaged areas. They are not going to be paying for our debt. They're not going to be loaning the United States money anymore. But what they will be doing is they're going to be buying up our corn, our wheat, and our refined gasolines. They lost 4 out of 5 refineries. 4 out of 5 refineries. They don't need crude oil. They need gasoline right now. They need gasoline and diesel products and heating oil and those types of things. And they have money. Japan does have money. They're going to purchase what we produce, and we don't produce a surplus. So you're going to see food and fuel prices are going to go up because of this. They're not going to be buying down our debt anymore. They're the third largest economy in the world. And they just got knocked off the playing table, the board, didn't they? So while everybody's worried about nuclear stuff, which is valid, and I'm paying attention to it, and we're praying for the brothers and sisters, because there are Christians in Japan. I'm watching the explosion again. I can't imagine being anywhere near a nuke plant and seeing that and not going, well, that's it, we're dead. If not today, not tomorrow, but our children are going to be born with 40 toes. This is going to make Chernobyl look like nothing. Watch. If we're still around in 20 years and we look at the death toll compared to Chernobyl, and they were supposedly the best in the world at doing this. But don't be distracted from the horror and everything. Don't let it distract you too much. Your sympathy should be with the Japanese people. I understand that. But this is going to heavily, heavily speed up the collapse of our economy here in America. The dollars, you know, people go, I was talking to them, I can't believe you're being so selfish and so mean talking like this. I said, I'm a realist. If that had been L.A., I'd probably be crying for, you know, my friends in L.A. I don't have any friends in Japan. Several of you do. I know Warland said he did. Jaron 1 said he was supposed to go to Japan next year. He doubts that's going to happen. It's just the reality of it. This is a warning from God, clear and simple. Whether evil men triggered, you know, the plates to go or whatever, or aliens did it, you know, you go with whatever theory you like. Whether this is, you know, build up to 2012, I don't care. It doesn't change anything about what we do, except we need to double it. I mean, one, that 30-foot wall of water that went through wouldn't have been enough to, where I live, it wouldn't have touched us. But it would have stopped the supply of everything that we buy in this area had it hit the coast of California. You know, a 10-meter high, 33 feet or whatever it was. And when you look at the devastation that it delivered from the cameras that had it and all that, now they're showing Chernobyl now side by side with it. You've got to do whatever you can do to solidify your family's safety after an event like that. Those of you that are in the Mississippi River Valley, the New Madrid, that fault, you know, FEMA's buying up all the food, they're buying body bags, they're pre-staging it around New Madrid. They know something we don't. The official word is nobody could predict earthquakes. The reality of it is that they've been trying to for decades, and somebody's knowing what's going on. Somebody knows what's going on, and they're not. They know that the time frame and all that's coming up. That there should be another massive quake on the New Madrid. And I'm not saying move out of the area, but I'm saying prepare yourself. And when that Mississippi decides to change its flow again, like it did in 1815 or whatever it was, it's going to do it again. It's going to do it again. And you don't know which way that river's going to go. Pretty much things that I've learned in the past and been reinforced this weekend after reading up on seismic activity. Anywhere there's a major river, there's a fault. There's usually a crack in the plates. The good news is the North American plate, out of all the plates, is the most secure. We're riding on top of the Pacific Asian plate, whatever you want to call it. And as we bend like an elbow, Mexico coming up and Alaska coming down and then California backing up and moving away, which is what happened. They said in some places we moved as much as 8 feet farther from the Pacific plate. It puts pressure on the New Madrid plate because it pushes backwards. whereas Alaska, like in a pincer movement, and Mexico were coming up. The Yucatan, the point of the Yucatan would come up. Interesting to think that, you know, a lot of people, they go, well, you know, I don't believe in plate tectonics. Well, I believe in earthquakes. And I believe that the earth does move, and it does grumble, and it does make a lot of noise, and it does a lot of damage and throws us around like we're nothing. I mean, just watch the videos of the tsunami and watch how everything just it was insignificant. Oil tankers flowing down a street and just smashing into buildings. Pretty bad stuff that's really happening. And what happened, for some reason, the last 150 years, human beings on this planet forgot about great natural disasters. The Indonesian tsunami that hit everything, you know, over in the Indian Ocean, that killed 200,000, 300,000 people, that wasn't enough. Katrina wasn't enough. Maybe this will cause people to wake up and start realizing, hey, you know, we live on a changing planet. We don't affect it in any way except we have to react to it and be prepared to react to it and have your earthquake. What are you guys eating, strawberries and cream?
Mm-hmm.
Thought you were sick, Lewis. You're never too sick to eat strawberries and cream. Is that your point? Yeah, so I suppose you didn't put those chocolate Twinkies in there. It'd be like a shortcake. Excuse me, folks. Like I said, we're still fighting the colds here, even though some of us feel safe enough to eat strawberries and cream. I suppose you didn't put bananas in it or something. But yeah, we need to use this to check your gear, check out what you've got stored, what's going to work. And then think about it. If any of those people, they were on it. Japan was the most prepared for an earthquake of any nation in the world, except, you know, maybe Greece and stuff. They get a lot of them there. But their buildings were built. Their nuclear plants were triple redundancy, and it didn't help. And every one of them had earthquake kits in their buildings. But look what happened to their buildings. They didn't just get knocked down. You know, I can't remember how much longer it was that the tsunami hit. But afterwards, it got washed inland. Their farm fields wiped out. It was strange. It was different than the Indonesian tsunamis. This one was like a solid wall of energy that just came through. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But how would you? You wouldn't even be able to salvage anything. That's when your skills and your survival training are going to come in, because you're going to have to salvage. They've got 500,000 people right now. 500,000 people in shelters. That's just what's in the shelters. It's like 480,000 people. They're handing them granola bars to the children and people over 70, and everybody gets water because they have no food. All of their emergency stores were wiped out. They had nothing that was far away that they could bring in. They located everything in the homes. They depended heavily on that. And another thing we're seeing is we're finding out that the media in Japan is strictly controlled by the government, and they're not telling them anything. About damages, you know, the extent of it, anything like that. And what they don't even have clean water. I see Freedom saying water is going to be they don't even have clean water. The most advanced earthquake prepared country on the planet got caught with their pants down. And we can't get there fast enough to help them. There's going to be a lot. They're saying now like 10,000 dead. Mark my words, it's going to be 70,000 to 80,000 dead. I could be wrong, and I pray I'm wrong, but when I'm looking at from a damage assessment background and from what I'm able to see from the aerial pictures, how quickly the damage came, the extent of the damage, the standing water that is still there, the standing water is a huge problem. The 2, 3, 4 feet of mud, the fires, this is going to be bad. And they may tell us it's only 10 to 20,000 dead, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be way more than that. And this whole thing, and they're already jumping, all the anti-nuke people are already jumping all over. This has been a huge weekend, and this has been a huge distraction. Obama's come out, and I'm going to shift a little bit here. We can talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. I'll give the phone number out here, 559-346-8362, 559-346-8362, if you want to talk about this or any of the other subjects. But Obama's now coming out talking about getting your guns. He's trying to talk with Wayne LaPierre, the NRA, and all these groups. They're going to talk about making it harder for the wrong people to get guns. Well, who decides who are the wrong people? And whatever restrictions they put on them always make it worse on us. He's using the Loeffner shooting in Arizona. He had to wait. There was a certain amount of time. And what a better time now when everybody's distracted watching Japan. They want to come up with new legislation to take away your ability to purchase firearms. Now, with the possible exception of one or two guns, we've got everything we need. We have all the ammo we can carry. And I have a few extra guns that I could give people. If they, you know, end up and they're refugees and they don't have guns, I'm not going to give them to somebody who didn't prepare. But if they did prepare, you know, I have no problem with helping them out after the effect. You know, if just the rules of engagement, they can't get to their cash or the situation. I thought they'd do it sooner. I'm actually surprised they waited this long, but they've got a great distraction here. The White House has been wrong on everything they've been doing. They were wrong on Libya. It looks like Gaddafi's going to stay in office. They're even firing some of their intel people for admitting that they don't think we're going to get rid of Gaddafi. Nations in the Arab world are falling apart, and you know, there's absolutely no control. Chaos seems to be the rule of the day. Well, when you have chaos like this, that's when tyranny strikes. They exploit the chaos. So keep an eye on the White House. Keep an eye on the Brady Bill people, all the different groups that came out after the Reagan shooting, all those groups, handgun violence, all those folks. They're going to come after us instead of dealing with the real issue, which is who's the person behind the gun. Weird things in the news. I saw initial articles coming up about cops being ambushed and shot in Virginia, and now I can't find any articles on them. If you guys know anything about that, they came out in the middle of the night, and I was reading them, and then I can't find them anymore. I don't know what happened. They said one cop shot and killed, four others wounded. And just strange articles appearing and then disappearing. I noticed last week I saw an article that said that the Dutch family and their children that were caught by pirates was rescued. And then I see another one coming up saying that they raised the ransom on them and they've got them in a port somewhere. So I don't know what's going on with our media. I didn't have enough time last week to monitor it like I normally do, but there's been some stories that pop up and then they disappear. They're manipulating the information again. And it's one of my triggers that when they start doing that, that means somebody released an article, then they, hey, no, don't release that, pull it back. So if any of you guys know anything about the cop shooting that occurred where there were several cops supposedly ambushed from the woods, and I think it was Virginia, where the man with a high-powered rifle, and then the story disappeared. And so keep an eye on that. If you guys have any personal stories about what's going on over in Japan, you know anybody, you've seen anybody, you know, or talked to anybody from over there, let me know about it. Hey, I see Scotty's in there. Welcome, Scotty. I just got back in the chat room. We're down here where there's more bandwidth, so I can be in the chat room, and so far the computers are working great. So there's that. We had a training on Saturday. We had 14 people come in. We had Pakistanis, Filipinos, teenagers. We didn't have any senior citizens this time. The three little Jewish ladies didn't want to come in. It was some scheduling thing. And we did our phase two of our Code 20 training for cell warfare. It went exceptionally well. We had a couple new people, so we had two-tier pistol training. We broke them up into two levels of people that were here last time. We taught them shoot and scoot tactics. We had two soldiers this time, two sergeants. Sergeant R and what was the other?
Sergeant M.
And what we did was, is the first part of the day I taught the basic pistol craft. Second part of the day I did the introduction to scoot and shoot. And then I turned them over to the soldiers and we did two-man fire teams moving live fire on the range, aggressing the targets. And what we did is we put up 9 targets, 10 targets. We had barricades set up, and they had to communicate and move. And, of course, at first it was just – it was a nuisance. You know, it was hard, and you know, we had to walk them through it. Okay, shoot now. We'd use baby steps. But by the end of the day, they were moving good. And it also assessed their group because they're kind of a group. They meet once a week to shoot at a shooting range. I said, that's great. Why don't you alternate it every other week? You go to the shooting range with live fire. But then you go somewhere where you could, because they live in the Bay Area,
yeah,
where you can use plastic guns and work on your communication and cover fire techniques. Let's see. Jaron says, Grundy, Virginia was where the police shooting took place. Read the story at work today. Okay. So I couldn't find it. I tried a few hours ago trying to find it. So I want to look at that. That was an interesting article. But some of the things that came out of our training this weekend, we had three youth. And, you know, we wanted more people, but the thing was we were charging $100 for the training, and it's well worth it. And we extended it. It was supposed to be 4 hours. It ended up being more like six, more time on the range than the classroom, but we're going to make some changes. One of the things we're going to do with these every month, we're going to have another one next month, and it's going to be an airsoft class where we teach room clearing and use of force in your home. But we're not going to charge the $100 up front. We're going to let people go through the class, and then we're going to have the pistol and the cell warfare sections, and then we're going to have a short, maybe an hour, hour and 20 minutes, where Pastor Warren Mark Campbell comes in and gives a presentation on the biblical justification for the use of force, more in depth than what we do. We touch on it. Steve touches on it. I touch on it. But he's going to go deeply into it, and we're going to go, you know, to teach them more. Where from the Bible do you get your
spiritual side of it?
Yeah, where do you get your spiritual side of it? Citing specific verses. Thank you, Stace. And then after that, we're just going to pass the hat around and have people make donations, you know, to help cover the electricity and the travel time for the instructors and that kind of stuff. Because we're hoping that will bring more people. Like for the three students that came, we waived the $100 because these kids don't have money.
What?
Oh, thank you. We'll go to that next. Thank you. Got it. I will make sure. That's a weird-looking link. Look at how it broke it up when it did it. I'll see if it'll let me go to it. Let's see if the link works. thank you.
Oh, he did it twice.
Yeah, got it. But so when we talk about our trainings, you know, if make an effort to get here. We had several new people this time around, some people that couldn't make it that were our regulars, and everyone, we kind of, you know, I got to speak to everyone at least for a few minutes, and they all enjoyed it. They said they don't find this kind of training anywhere. You can go to Front Sight and get the quality of pistol training that we teach, and that's probably true. But you're not going to get the spiritual and moral stuff. You'll get the legal stuff when you go to Front Sight, but they're not going to talk about, you know, jihad. They're not going to talk about your spiritual right and duty to self-defense and all that kind of stuff. And I can tell you right now, in a basic class at Front Sight or anywhere, they're not going to let you take a firearm and run around with it on the range. Now, we have safety. We definitely have safety. We were holding their belts the first few times and making sure they knew where to go. But we built them up to the point where they could scoot and shoot and scoot. The next class, we're going to be using airsoft because we're going to actually shoot while we're moving. And we want to make sure that they know how to do that. We got some really good resources. We got some things donated, some good target systems that we're going to be able to utilize in the next few classes, but the next class will be strictly airsoft. If you have, and you know, all you'll need to do is, if you don't have an airsoft pistol, we'll loan you one. But if you have an airsoft pistol, bring it, because you're only going to get a chance to fire one or two shots. It doesn't have to be high end. I mean, the ones we have are like real feeling M4s, full auto, semi-auto, that kind of stuff. And you can borrow ours if you don't have them. But if you have an airsoft pistol that you want to train with, bring it, and we'll make it part of the system. Now, we had a great time. We Stacy made arrangements for lunch. She had like tacos and burritos and rice and beans, and everybody liked it. We watched parts of Restrepo during the break. We watched a couple other video shorts on parts from the Battle for Algiers, like 1960s black and white film. It was subtitled. It was in French and Arabic or whatever, but it definitely showed how the Muslims are doing what they're doing, and how we have to defend against it. Now, I know everybody's talking about this congressman or senator or whatever that had the big meeting over the radicalization of Islam, and that they concluded that not all Muslims are a threat. And I tend to agree that not all of them are, but most of them are. And it ended up being never trust a Muslim. Just never trust a Muslim, and you'll do okay. That's what every soldier that's ever been over there has taught me. That's what Steve Klein has taught me. You never trust a Muslim. Because right now, they're fighting each other, Muslim on Muslim, but as soon as they settle, like in Egypt, they immediately turn on the Christians as soon as they get their differences settled. And they are killing Christians right now in Egypt, and the news is not reporting it. So we will continue to have our once-a-month training against Muslims, but guess what? It'll apply to any enemy. I'm going to continue to do my disaster preparedness training every month, and that, again, is free also. And we're going to be adding some extra training, and Camp Kawiya is really going to turn, we're hoping, it turns into a location for you folks that are like-minded to come here, hang out with us for a few days, and get some good training. And if you have a skill that you can train, tell me about it. Because in October, the first weekend in October, we're going to have a big 3-day training session, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to be doing, and I think that's going to be a $50 participation fee for a whole family. If you bring 10 people, it's $50. Because we're going to do a weenie roast, and we've got to get the campground set up and all that. It's going to be great. So we're going to need people, preferably paramilitary-style training, survival training, search and rescue training, disaster training. If you know about herbs and medicines, we can set up a station for you, and we'll rotate people around, and we'll do several classes on Saturday. Saturday night, there's probably going to be, because it's out of my control, the kids want to do it. When I say kids, the 20-year-olds want to do another Civil War dance. They've been doing it for years, and so they'll have Civil War music with call dancing. It's not square dancing. It's something completely different.
Yeah, it's different. It's a lot of spinning.
It's a lot of spinning. But it's done Civil War era. There'll be people dressed as Confederates and bells, you know. And
if they want to dress up like that, great.
Yeah, so... but we'll be doing that, and then Sunday we'll have some speakers, people that will be talking about the cause, and it'll be a good time to be had by all. We encourage you to come and camp. It'll be a good training for those of you that are militia-minded.
And bring your own food.
Yeah, bring your own food. We'll do a weenie roast Saturday night, though. But bring your own food, and we'll just be – we're going to run it like a mini basic training. Those of us that are – ex-military that are involved in this, we all remember it. It doesn't matter if you did it in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s. Like at Fort Benning, they would just have different stations out in the woods, and you would rotate through. Every hour, a horn would go off, like in our case, we'll ring the church bell, and it'll be time to rotate to the next class. And what you can do that way then is if there's more classes than we can get to in a day, you can break your family up and give them each different skills. Like we may have survival cooking. We've got some people that want to do that. It may be on how to gather herbs and food, natural foods as you wander through, because we live in a mountain interface in the highlands. There's all kinds of stuff here that you can – in October, not so much, but whatever. I'll be teaching pistol classes and rifle classes. We'll have some people teaching man-tracking classes. And it's just going to be a shift in paradigm of how we do the conference. We usually fed your brain and had a couple hands, you know, demonstrations. This time it's going to be training, folks, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be awesome, and it'll be really important as time closes. What? Yeah, I got to drink some water. Thank you. I'm starting to cough here. As we get closer to the collapse, the more training you get, the better. Because it doesn't matter if you have all the gear in the world, if you have all the food stored. Look what happened to the people in Japan. All their storage stuff got wiped out, and now they got to survive on their wits. They got to figure out how to purify water without the $3,000 family filtration system that they all had put in their garage. Okay, folks, we're going to be back after the break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this shooting in Virginia, I think. We'll be right back.
Had their way. It was he who had a party tossing tea in Boston Bay. It was he who braved the winter in the days of Valley Forge, fighting side by side together with a fella named of George.
Johnny Freedom, Johnny Freedom, you can meet him on each page of history. He's the spirit of
started growing and the wagons headed west.
thinking he's the Lincoln of the day. If we're fixing for a tussle, it's his muscle all the way. If we need a handsome fella so the ladies' hearts can throb, there's a Yankee Doodle Dandy, always handy for the job.
Johnny Freedom, Johnny Freedom, you can meet him on each page of history. He's the spirit of America, our country's pride and joy. Hands off to Johnny Freedom, Johnny Freedom, that's our boy.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Steve Klein on the phone calling me during the break there. I almost missed the break, but we're going to – I told you we were going to add more time. He wants to do two Saturdays in April now. He wants to do one with Airsoft where we teach you how to clear the house with Airsoft, and he wants to add another shooting class. He's going to bring an entire church up from Hemet, California. He's going to teach them the classroom stuff down there, those of you that came the cell warfare, so we can spend an entire day on the range. So I will have a date for all of you tomorrow on that, that you can take part on. And remember, we're not going to charge $100 up front, but we ask you to make a realistic donation at the end of the day. And I would really appreciate that, and we figure we'll just put it into God's hands, because, you know, we had 11 people pay. 12 people pay, and we raised $1,200 for the church and to pay for gas and stuff for four instructors. And, you know, and I gave $50 to one of our assistant instructors who was just volunteering out of my money, because I made $100. So I made $50. I'm upfront about everything. So that's what we'll do. We'll have 2 days in April. So it'll be three training days in April. And he wasn't even listening to the show. He wasn't paying attention to what time of day it was. So it's funny, great minds think alike. I'm talking about it, and he says, oh, I'll call you after the show. So that number to call in is 559-346-8362. I was noticing today that we had, you know, over 20,000 hits on the website. We had 10,000 people visit our website in February. Not one person bought anything. So we've really got to push the store and the links and getting the gear. And if there's something that we don't have up there, you just let Stacy know. Just email Stacy. She'll put her email address in the chat room. It's stacy@dutchjones.info. Well, you need to check that one, because it's part of the business. And what we'll do is, if there's something that you can't get to somewhere else, or you just want to get it from us, we'll see if we can get a better price for you. We're getting all kind of. I've been doing a lot with Southern California martial law alerts. And we're getting a lot of information coming in from them. We need to have them on sometime. Okay, I don't understand what if you. We have rooms. The two ladies that run Southern California Martial Law Alerts are friends of the church. They've come to our trainings. They've come to our church. They've come to our conferences. And I always just call them the ladies from the coast. But what are their name? What are their first names? Don't give me their.
Kim and Carrie.
Kim and Carrie. Southern California Martial Law Alerts. I put out on a post that they posted, we have room. Let us know if you need to head this way, and know how many. Let us know how many we'll bring. I did it in a public forum, and now everybody's like, where are you? We need to know. I don't know where you are. And I'm like, well, that was just for the ladies from the coast. I have to write that. Oh, boy. Kim and Carrie?
Yeah.
So So I shouldn't have put that. Yeah, so now I get somebody named Emily going, well, where are you? What's this way? I'm not really mobile because I was laid off. How do I get there? And I'm like, uh-oh. Last time we did that, we had some guy show up, remember?
Yeah.
Guy in a wheelchair, the Drostafarian dude. I got to be real careful in who I invite. You have to be a friend of the church. You have to be a member of our listening audience. And you have to be someone we know. If this is your first time listening and you haven't heard any of our sermons or any of that stuff, my invitations are for you to come to training and get to know us. Don't show up here with your family and no supplies and thinking, hey, Dutch's group's going to save me. No. We have a refugee process. We have a nice little letter and a nice little parting gift that we'll give you, but you won't be allowed in unless we know you, unless we've trained with you. It's just the way it is. We've gone in depth on this show and on other shows that we've been on saying we have to know you. So, sorry, Emily. I'm glad you're listening, but, you've got to be fellowshipping with us. You've got to be part of the body of our church.
We've got to establish a relationship.
You know, we're not going to turn away people empty-handed until we have to. We've put together about 50 kits, survival kits.
I think 40.
Yeah, and some words of advice and directions to put you in where you might be able to salvage an existence. But Camp Kaweah is for those who have made the sacrifice and the effort by showing up, volunteering, training, sending monetary donations, helping out with the conference, all those types of things. And inversely, we've had other people that have showed up to volunteer, donated things and all that, and they don't get it, and they will be turned away. They're just doing it to save their own skin. They're not Christian. They share a little bit with us, but they may be racists. They may be socialists. I'm trying to think. They may be Masons, those types of things. You're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem.
Yeah. Get it.
No secret societies need apply.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get to this story here. I'm not in the chat room, so if anything good's going on in the chat room. So thank you for sending me the story. It says at least two deputies in Buchanan County, Virginia, have been shot, according to Buchanan County Sheriff's Department spokesman. The shooting occurred at the Devil's Branch community, said spokesman Sharon Thornsberry. The entire sheriff's department of 35 was on the scene. Information on the deputy's conditions. See, it's very rare. This is, I'm confused because when it first came out, it said there was this sniper. He shot five cops. People were confirming it by saying, oh, I know these guys. I got, they're weird. And it's not on the news. I'm not even going to read the comments on this thing. It's just a waste of time. But we're going to start seeing this media manipulation like we're seeing about the meltdown. We're going to start seeing people, let me go back to the chat room here, stories pop up and then disappear. We have to have a secret code and a handshake to get in. Scotty's saying, I just picked up a nice old 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun today. Yeah, what did we... I was watching Sons of Guns. I'd never seen the show before, and last night it was on. I watched like six of them in a row. The guy says, I want a leopard gun made. They go, a leopard gun? You mean you want it painted like it was? No. When I pulled the trigger, I wanted to leave a pattern on the person where they look like a leopard. And I'm like, oh. So they took a 20-gauge double-barrel shotgun, cut it off at like 12 inches, something ridiculous. Yeah, and then put a pistol grip on it, and that was his defense weapon. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I don't have cable, so when I get somewhere with this cable, I exploit the military channel and the Discovery Channel. And this Sons of Guns, it's Red Jacket Firearms out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They do government contracts. They do custom jobs. You know, they don't have anything under $1,200, and you got to buy like three of them for them to do it. They won't just sell you one. And these guys are making all kinds of cool stuff for public safety, for the Wounded Warrior program. They had a soldier come back whose right arm was paralyzed, but he wanted to go boar hunting. So they took the AK-47 shotgun. Spaz? No, not Spaz. I can't. It's you guys probably know it, but I can't. It escaped me because they're illegal in California. They look like an AK-47, but they take 12-gauge rounds. And they mounted it on a Sega 12. Thank you very much, Geron 1. And they mounted it on like a gimbal, so he could drive like a maniac, stop, shoulder the weapon on his left arm with his left hand because that's all that worked, and he got a boar. And they were going to charge like $3,000 for it, and the guy says, no, it's free.
Yeah.
Thank you for your sacrifice. Because the guy who owns the company is a Marine too, but they were making like. M16 mounted on a remote control system, like on, it used a gaming pad. And they sold that to some contractors. I think it was XE. But they were doing that. They were taking old Civil War cannons and refurbishing them. And great show, Sons of Guns. A little, you know, God Bless America, right or wrong kind of attitude they had. But that's okay. I'm not going to knock him for that. I don't know him personally. And he is an ex-Marine. But some really neat weapon systems on there and how they get them to function. A guy brought in a 1919 it's a 30-06, 30 caliber belt-fed machine gun. You know, the ones that look like a mini 50 cal. It's like got a little pistol grip on the back, rectangular box, heavy vented barrel. This huge African-American police officer came and said, well, at the end of this week, we're going to have a machine gun shoot for the department in a competition. I want to win it. But the rule is the weapon has to be shoulder-fired. Can you convert this? So they converted to shoulder fire, and when they did, it slowed the rate of fire because the barrel wasn't heavy enough for the recoil. So they ended up chopping off the barrel, but they made this thing look like a something out of Starship Troopers. And this guy could shoot a 1919 30-06, I don't know, what do they do, about 900 rounds a minute? You know, I'm just throwing out a number there, belt-fed. And he was doing this competition with it. Some amazing stuff. So I highly recommend the show. It was fun to watch if you're into gunsmithing at all. Nothing I could afford. You know, I don't think they're going to take an $80 Mosin Nagant and high-speed it for me, but that would be nice if they would try something like that. I'd like to see a poor man's gunsmith shop show where they take old guns and, you know, make them work and accurize them and stuff. That would be more fun to watch than me. Of course, you guys know I love the Mosin Nagant, even though I can't get any of mine to shoot properly. Lately, but God has blessed us, and I came into possession of another rifle. I was needing a rifle desperately. I was praying for one, and a friend of mine who's needing to cash stuff cashed a rifle with me and said I can use it if he doesn't get there. So I'm praying he gets there. I mean, that kind of puts it like, well, maybe it won't get there and I can keep the rifle, but for now I can at least train with it and practice with it because it's the type of rifle that I can pick up on the battlefield from a mobile supply pod, so it'll be good. Some of the other things that I've been seeing in the media, they're stepping up the ridicule of militias around the country again. You know, they're coming out with reports again about militia stuff. So my advice is just don't be stupid. Don't take anything illegal. Don't take a machine gun. Don't have somebody sell you a gas mask that's government property because they're going to be shaking the tree and they're going to be infiltrating heavily. They're going to do everything they can to put cracks in the armor of a righteous thing and try and make and smear it with ugliness. So I think once things cool down with this, you know, Japanese disaster, boy, I'm watching them go through and look for bodies right now. They got their soldiers out there just tromping through the debris. The debris story's high. I don't know how they're going to find anybody in time to save them. I think with the water coming through the way it did, I think the people that were trapped are probably drowned. And but after this wears off, they're going to start moving for our guns, like I was talking about. And they're going to start moving on the ammunition. One thing we're noticing is the ammunition here is not going up in price. We were just at Walmart earlier today. It's very abundant, and it's not what's the word I'm looking for? It's not that expensive. But my advice to you is stock up on the large caliber stuff, but make certain you get enough 22s you can train with them. I'm waiting on a 22 pistol that we're trying to get to obtain, and we can train that way. I'll probably make that poor man's gun show in the near future. I'm training with the American Gunsmithing Institute and trying to. Oh, that'd be cool. Jaron One saying that he would like to. That'd be great to have a show on our network, and then maybe Liberty Tree would pick it up where you could just do. For those of us that can't afford to go out and buy a Springfield Armory $2,000 M1A1, but we can get a hold of an M1 Garand through the CMP or something, how we can trick it out, how we can optimize it and make it more dependable. Because even like this show, Sons of Guns, they were making a movie gun. They took a Mac 11 and they were going to give it to this movie production company, and the thing kept jamming on them, mostly because they used blanks, but... even the most precision weapons in the world can be, wow, I'm watching the tsunami. This is just devastating. I haven't seen any of this, folks. You guys with TVs have probably been seeing it since the moment it started, but this is the first time I'm getting to see some of the camera footage of, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of vehicles being tossed around and ocean liners being slammed into buildings. It's just amazing. I can't even imagine what this country's going to do. I've been through natural disasters. I've been through flash floods. I've been through forest fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, freak blizzards, locusts, cicadas. I've been through everything. But those are nothing compared to what this size of scale was. I mean, you could leave the affected area. That you can leave the general, you know, area of your of the disaster and seek help. But when you have a mass region-wide disaster like this, most Americans are not going to handle it well. But the one thing I have to say is you're not seeing looting. Maybe that's because there's nothing left to loot. But you're not seeing looting in Japan. At least they're not reporting it. Look what happened in Katrina, L.A., when the earthquakes hit in L.A., we had rioters all over the place. Not rioters, looters all over the place. And a looter is just an unprepared victim, because their whole philosophy is, well, when the stuff breaks, I'm just, you know, when society falls apart, I'm just going to go get it from somebody else.
Yeah.
That's all a looter is. And they're going to be a problem, and you have to have enough volume of fire to deal with them. Because you're going to have to actually kill three or four people to get the others to back off. You're going to have to identify who the leaders in the mob are. But in some cases, there is no leader. There is true just anarchy that will hit. And killing a few people, they won't even notice. They'll just go, oh, that guy's head just exploded. Well, it's not me. I'm grabbing a TV. I saw it during the Rodney King riots with the Korean shop owners. They were lighting people up. There's footage of it. You just got to look for it. I don't even know if it's still on YouTube, but just look for Korean shop owners, LA riots. These people did not back down in protecting their property and their lives. They would shoot 5, 6, 7 times into a crowd, and the crowd would just shift on to the next place, but they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop at that liquor store. So unless you've got the whole neighborhood trained and ready to fight that way, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to be able to get away with it, unless you've got a belt-fed weapon and you've garrisoned your house. But most, 95% of America is not going to be ready for that kind of violence. They're just not. We're prepared for it. We know exactly where we're going to stop them at. We know exactly how we're going to deal with it. We know exactly who in the community is going to be a problem already if they stick around. We're trying to mitigate that by reaching out to the youth in our community. Please stop playing with that. It's making all kinds of weird noises. Like, I thought the dog was chewing on it. But we're inviting these youth to church. And we're not dealing with the hoodle dudes. We're not dealing with the problem youth. These are kids that used to be in church families, but the families don't go to church anymore for whatever reason. There's divorce or whatever. But we've got kids coming to our church now. We had three of them play in church the last two Sundays. They played music. They played guitar and bass guitar and stuff while the pastor led worship. So now's the time when we have to be strategic and start looking at these problem areas in your neighborhoods and figuring out how you're going to mitigate that threat. Now, on a normal radio show, they may just leave it at that, but here's what I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to do a little bit of investigation and find out who these people are, and post-disaster, post-collapse, you need to remove them from the planet as soon as you can. The people that are going to be stealing from you to sell on the black market are the people that are today, you know, sitting on their front lawn on welfare, selling drugs and not doing anything. So it'll be easy to figure out. Now, there may be some of them that you can turn. There may be a few in the harvest still. I don't know. That's up to you. But what we're doing is we're identifying people in our community that are going to be physical threats. And the minute everything falls apart and we see them making moves, we're going to be there to stop them. We're not just like going to go into their house, kick in the door and say, hey, we think you're a threat, and shoot you in the head. We're going to watch them, and when we see them go to loot the grocery store, we're going to shoot them for looting. Period. Period. So you need to do that same thing in your community today. I know that sounds harsh, but we're watching Fox News. Minuteman's asking. So we've got to identify, just like Jaron 1 saying, there are certain people in the neighborhood that know that you're a prepper. They've watched you, and their philosophy, their survival plan is to take you out. Don't think they're not doing that now. Don't think they're not sitting around going, oh, well, when the stores dry up and there's no beer, we're going to go over to so-and-so's house and just kick in his door and kill him. He's been unloading packages of stuff for years and loading it up in his house. It's one of the downsides to some of the things we do for outreach, that it lets people know.
Especially all those games.
But yeah, we're gonna have a problem with gangbangers leaving the urban areas in the valley and trying to come up to us. But we know exactly where their vehicles are gonna have to pass through because we're fortunate. We're very strategic and tactical in our location. There's several choke points along the 198, and we'll just shut it down and only let people in we want to let in. Now, there are going to be people in our community that we don't agree with, but they have just as a right to their property as we do. There's going to be hippies up here, and yeah, there's going to be sodomites. There's going to be Democrats. There's going to be loudmouth Republicans that we don't want anything to do with, but that doesn't give us a right to kick them off their property. But they will be told this. We are here to protect our section of this road. We are here to protect our people, and those coming here to seek to be with us, we will protect them. You will be allowed free passage through here. If your property is behind us, we will not hinder you. We will even assist you if you want to work out some system of trade like we've done with the cattle company. However, if you for 1 minute compromise, jeopardize, or otherwise threaten us, we will deal with you in the harshest means available at the time. So, and I'm letting people know that now. Starting next week, this radio show, this slot, we're going to move Cornkey up, and we're going to put me on for 2 hours now, because the pastor thinks that they need to start hearing this message locally on our 93.3 FM Vice Gerent Radio. And that's just the way it is. And you've got to prepare your family for this. You've got to get your wife, kids, live-in relatives to realize that if you don't start pulling your weight, I'm not going to bend over backwards to make sure you survive. You'll get scraps. You'll get, you know, Christian love. But unless you start pulling your weight here, you're just going to become another one of the expendable sheep, another refugee. Because those of us that have taken the time to study, to read, to train, sacrificed our bodies, our times, our time, our lives, so that we might survive, are not to allow parasites to attach to us. And that's going to be tough, because you're going to have people in your own family, your own children, your own spouses, that are going to be parasites. And they're going to jeopardize the rest of the group because of their habits, their laziness, their ignorance of what's going on in our world today. And you're going to have to deal with them. And now is the time, I think it's appropriate to sit them down and say, look, I'm not being mean, I'm not being harsh, but if you don't stop being an idiot, you're on your own. I'll give you a backpack and a map, you know, to where the water is in the area, and you can go. I may even give you a handgun. But you didn't want to go to class with me. You didn't want to study the stuff that we're studying in our group. You didn't want to show up at our regular weekly prep meetings. You just got to do that. I've turned my back on my entire family. My brothers, my sisters, because they don't want to hear the gospel part of it. They don't want to hear the salvation part of it. All they want to hear is, well, what should I do? How much goat should I get? And I give them the basic information just like I would any listener. But they're all begging me to come live with them and help coordinate their little facilities. I'm like, no. Where were you 15 years ago when I was talking like this and you guys were making fun of me? When I was telling you the economy was going to crash? When I was learning to live lean and off the land and off the grid and you were calling me a fool because I didn't want to have a bank account and didn't want to depend on credit, but yet you're up to your ears in credit now and you can't afford to go buy an MRE. And I and my family of three have been living on $500 a month for over 2 years now. Huh? Where are those relatives now? Where are those friends? I've got other friends that are doing all the right stuff, but they refuse to leave Los Angeles. They haven't even made a plan to leave Los Angeles. They've invested all their money in their daily lifestyle, living paycheck to paycheck. They're good Christians. They have some guns. They've come with me to training, but they refuse to come up here to Camp Cahuilla and learn anything beyond what I taught them 10 years ago. But yet, whenever something in the news pops up, I get emails from, what should we be looking for? I said, look, I've already told you. Rather than doing your 2 week vacation at the Grand Canyon, why don't you make it 1 week and then spend a week up here?
Or going to the desert.
Yeah. Instead of going to Disneyland 3 or 4 times a year or to the desert to hang out and party, why don't you sacrificially come and train with me? Or why don't you ask some of us to come down to your group and we'll train you there? You put us up. I am sick and tired of the sheep. I'm sick and tired of the lone wolves telling me, oh, I don't have to worry about it. Great. 50 marauding bikers come to your house and you're going to stop them because you're the only one that can pull the trigger because the rest of your family doesn't know how. And you don't have a back door, you don't have an evacuation plan because you were so proud you thought you could be John Wayne and defend your property against any enemy at any size while they're just setting fire to your house and laughing about it.
And taking all your supplies and everything.
Yeah, and whatever's not burned up, they just take. There's just too much stupidity going on right now in the world for people to not notice it, for people to not be prepared for it. My voice isn't holding out, so in about 3 minutes we're going to stop, and then if you guys want to stick around and let Ed know, and if Ed's not already in there, I'm doing everything I can to not hack up a hairball right now. But remember this week, tomorrow we're going to have Steve Klein on again, Tuesday. We were supposed to have a Shauna Ford update today or tomorrow. I thought she was going to call today, but she didn't. I thought that Lane Lawless was going to call. Thursday, we will again have Pastor Warren Campbell on with Practical Christianity, and we'll be talking about different things throughout the week. But I want you to heed what I'm saying today. Watch these news channels and look at the disaster. Worst case scenario, you lose it all. You can't depend on gear. What are you going to do? Do you have the mental training? Is your family mentally prepared for this? Is your family, is the cohesiveness of your family such that you know if you tell your 14-year-old kid to go do something, he's actually going to do it the way you tell him to? Or is he going to come back and go, oh, I forgot what you said? You need to start honing those skills now and deciding whether or not you can count on the people that are sitting in the living room with you while you're watching TV. Or are you going to have to make that intellectual, painful decision, they're not worth saving. I could do more good by simply just keeping them stupid, dragging them somewhere else, and making them dig latrines or whatever. I'm not telling you to dump your family, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with them. You got to start slapping people around. It's that point in those disaster films where somebody's hysterical and they're being stupid and you got to slap them. Well, now I think pre-slapping is called for. Pre-slapping is definitely called for. So tomorrow I'm going to try to have for you some cinched up dates for April on training. Don't forget May 20th, we're going to have the split-second survival training, the Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday. It's $150. You have to tell me before. Well, tell me as soon as you can because it's filling up. We had a bunch of students over the weekend want to take it, and they signed up. So email me at dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info. And I will save a place for you as soon as we get your money. It's $150. You'll have to send a check to the church at Cahuilla or to Larry Wick, whatever you want to do, to Post Office Box 31, and we'll put it in the vault. And when he shows up, we'll give it to him. Or if you make it to the church, we'll cash it and give him, you know, a big check from the church. But it's only 25. We need 25 people, and then there will be a top-end limit. So, but the other training is going to be free or pay what you think is fair from now on. So hopefully you can make it out for some of our Code 20 training, our survival training, our medical training, our martial training. We're offering it, folks. We're here. We're putting it out. We just need you to get here. You need to show dedication on your part to get here. Thank you to everyone for listening. Check out dutchjones.info. We got a donation. I think it was from Batfag, wasn't it? The $30 donation we just got. Who was it? Swanson? It was from Swanson. Thank you very much, Swanson. We're still nowhere near the amount that it costs to keep us on the air and running. So if you haven't already, please make a donation. There's 10,000 people hitting the page a month. If everybody just gave a dollar, think of the wonderful things we could do for training. 10,000 people. Let's say half of them hate me and they're just looking to find something wrong. 5,000 people making a donation of just a dollar or $5. We could have all of you with your own transmitter. We could bring in the best instructors ever. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. We're not going to do a second hour. So you've been listening to Stronghold Radio from Camp Cahuilla. I'm Dutch Jones. This has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty.